The following program are pre-recorded.
Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken along with Tom Briggle, owner of the Bismarck Bobcats. And the Bobcats on a little bit of tear. They're on the road this weekend, heading down to the Minnesota Mallards. Now, Tom, that is in Forest Lake, Minnesota. Brand new team, right?
It is. You know, it's a brand new team, and we have hosted them in Bismarck. They're a gritty team, and, you know, I think they're about give or take 500. So they're kind of wading their way through the weeds, you know, against teams like us and Aberdeen and some of the others that have been around for a while. But they, they're a tough team. They're playing hard. And like I said, they're pretty gritty, and it'll be a different kind of test for us. What's our record these days? I had to look it up. 13-1 and a shootout loss. Not too bad.
Not bad.
But the thing is, everyone's gunning for us. Like, we played Tulane Austin last week, and God, they played us they played us hard. We came out with a split, and that was our first regulation loss. But, yeah, head down to the Mallards.
Well, you know what? The old adage for pretty much any sport is sweep at home, split on the road, and you're doing pretty well. You're ahead of that pace right now.
Not too bad so far.
So I want to get a little bit, before we get into the Mallards a little bit, because brand new, and I want to hear about where they're playing a little bit too. But the makeup of the team this year, and the Bobcats came out of the gate hot, down at the showcase, swept through the showcase. What's your sense of the team? I know it's a little early to start going, wow, these guys are really good. But it's a team. I've got a couple of my favorite players, but they're playing like a team. And there's not that one big horse standout. It's like, okay, if we put Wayne Gretzky on the team, yeah, we're going to do pretty well.
Yeah,
you're not built that way. You've got solid players across the board, and they play for each other. That's cool to watch.
Yeah, they really do. It's been interesting. You know, over time, for the most part, like the Bobcat culture, you know, under Lane and now under Garrett, has been pretty strong. But this year, I don't know if it's because we're 13-1 or if we're 13-1 because of it. But the boys, like, have really bonded, and it's really interesting because it's a more diverse team probably than we've ever had, just because all of a sudden we've got 8 imports, right? And we've got a kid that played in the dub from California, and they're really, you know, they're from all over. And then not to downplay the fact that, oh, by the way, we got 2 kids from Bismarck, right? We got Ty Weigel and Charlie Big, and very diverse group off the ice. They've really come together, to your point. And yeah, we've got some skilled players, Kim and others that are really high end. You know, Hunter's a high end, but even they, the scoring is spread out. And Nico Kapitanovic, our agent, and Wade Chido. They've really put together, you know how we talked over time about, yeah, you can have a bunch of good players, but just like the NHL, you need to have the right parts. But we've got a lot of the right parts, and if we can bring them along, and I think Garrett will, and Alec Rahauser, assistant coach, another Bismarck boy, I think they will. You know, we think we've got a chance to make a run at it here.
Okay, so when you're looking at a long season like this, and yeah, it's great getting out of the gate early. It's always always great to get out of the gate early. But maintaining that through the peaks and valleys of a long season can be a little bit difficult. So you've been around hockey for a long time. What's your thought? I mean, because at some point, and I'm not going to say the wheels are going to fall off, but there's going to be a rough spotter here. You know, a key injury or, you know, somebody gets suspended because they were bad. Something. There's always
decides to have a flashback moment.
Yeah, yeah, just a little bit. But over the course of a
kind of bobcat tradition, man.
It is.
We're trying to indoctrinate Rahauser and pollute him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two names come to mind right away. Minot and Aberdeen. Something's going to happen. Yeah. So anyway, but over the course of a long season, maintaining it's the hardest thing to do. So what's the culture like within the locker room that kind of manages that? Because the kids, like I said, are playing for each other. So does that help get through a little rough spot if you know, you drop a couple weekends or, you know, some injuries pop up, you know, it's kind of that next man up mentality, but they're all next men. It's a great team this year.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It's interesting on two fronts. One is, the short answer is we don't know. Cause we haven't, like, we've had tough games, but obviously we've only lost one and one in the shootout, right? And the one in the shootout, by the way, we're missing our top two scorers. We're not in the lineup against Minot. So at some point, I would guess, and I hope it's not due to injury, but likely there's always one or two, right? And those guys happen to be out with concussions. And short of injuries, you know, at some point we will run into, like you're saying, Sam, they always say, well, we're going to run into some adversity, and how do you handle it? We don't know yet. We'll be able to keep it up. I think we have the right staff in place for sure. Garrett's very smart that way in maintaining. But at some point we'll hit some adversity and then it's okay, how are the boys going to react? And, you know, it is a long season and so we want to win as many games as we can. But the objective at the end of the day, of course, after rosters are set in February, is to win the cup and make sure that we're healthy then and also that our mindset is right. And, you know, we're trying to bring back a championship. We just want to do that so bad. And but we'll run into adversity. We think we have the character on the team to work through that, and time will tell.
Well, it's looking good so far, and not to jinx anything, but it's going to be a big weekend down with a brand new team in the league, the Minnesota Mallards down in Forest Lake, Minnesota. We'll get the details on them when we come back. This is Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken along with Tom Briggle, owner of the Bismarck Bobcats, on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Superdoc 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken along with Tom Briggle, owner of the Bismarck Bobcats. Big weekend, Bobcats on the road. The following week, though, we're going to be back home at the VFW Center. North Iowa Bulls coming to town. You know, Tom, it's kind of crazy because you really haven't been on the road a whole lot. You started out at the gate with a lot of home games. Now you're on the road in Forest Lake, Minnesota. Brand new team, the Minnesota Mallards. And tell us a little about them. We had them here in our barn, and now we're on the road. Where are they playing down in Forest Lake?
They're playing well. It's a good question. I honestly, you know, I live in Minneapolis, but I've never, even with all my three children, never played there. So, you know, it's in Forest Lake. That's all I know, which is about 20 miles north of, maybe 30 north of St. Paul. So I'm excited myself to go up there and see their setup and see their team and see their fan base. The boys came in last night. So they're all settled in and they'll have a little pre-skate today and get ready for the game, you know, the games this weekend. So yeah, in terms of this home and out of town, the schedule has been a little bit, different. We started with six in a row at home. I don't know who the hell does the scheduling. Oh yeah, that's me. But it's just how it works out, like we talked about. You just can't figure it out sometimes. And so we started with six in a row at home, but now we've literally, by next Friday, we will have been out of the market for 4 weeks. And so I think fans, you know, getting a lot of people buying tickets ready, I think they're going through withdrawals.
Well, that's okay, though, because you don't want to be home on pheasant opener and you don't want to be home on deer opener, so you're fine.
You know what? What's interesting, yeah, I always tell you, I avoid pheasant opener like the plague, but we had two games and they were great. The turnout was great both nights. I just...
Well, that's because everybody gets their limit in the morning and then they're
watching the show and the hockey.
Pheasant's fine because everybody gets their limit in the morning and then they're home and go to the game that night, so you're okay.
especially this year. I just heard there's birds like hanging off trees. It's just crazy. And maybe even I could hit one. I kind of struggle there, but I sure would like to try some.
Just don't hit one with your car. You're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's all good that way. So we'll do the Forest Lake thing, and then I want to talk, if it's okay, about just a couple of other things. So next weekend, it's a pretty big weekend. We've got four or five sponsors that are sponsoring. Of course, Monday is, Veterans Day. And so next weekends are Veterans Day weekend. So I want to visit a little bit. We have terrific sponsors, and what Brad's put together, similar to what he did last year, is we have all special uniforms. We have all special helmets. And what we do is we auction them all off. And I think we raised like 10 grand last year for the trip that the veterans take. What's it called? Heroes?
The Honor Flight.
Yeah. But anyway, the trip they do to Washington, D.C. So it's really a big, it's a terrific event. And we have all kinds of veterans in the stands. And so pretty jacked about that. North Iowa's a better team this year. Unlike, they've been down a little bit, but so it should be good hockey, but it should also be, it's going to be a terrific event. So I think the fans have been going through withdrawals, it seems like. And so have I, to be honest. So we'll head back next week and, play a home game just for kicks.
Yeah, it's always fun to play a home game, right?
I think so.
Especially with the show.
And then, on another note, a little bit of a sadder note, you may know or whatever, but one of our boys, his father, about 10 days ago, had a heart attack and he passed away. And so, hockey's hockey, and you talk about our brothers and the team, but they're brothers. And so, his celebration of life is going to be Tuesday, so the boys will bust down on Monday and be with their partner, young Kyle Dahl, and be brothers in fact. So this hockey, we talk about hockey being such a close family. It's just a freaking close family. And little story there: we had the same thing happen in like 2006. A young boy lost his father unexpectedly, and so I was able to reach out to him on Facebook last week. And, I said, geez, we've had the same situation. And I'm just wondering if the boy is open to it, if you would want to visit with him. And he said, he's from Hallock, Minnesota. And he said, Tom, I would love to do that because there's so many things that I wish I would have known and that people would have talked to me instead of not talked about. And I've had to learn everything about that really kind of on my own. And so since that time, he's actually made it a mission to talk to people, not just hockey people, but people that lose their parents young. And it's just touching. And so you want to talk about Bobcat family and hockey broadly. So we're going to offer that once the dust is settled and Kyle has a chance to kind of take a breath. And they'll probably get together for coffee. And, I hate the situation, but I love the brotherhood. And so that's on a Saturday note. But, we're sad about that. But,
we hear those stories in hockey, and I don't think people that are outside that are fans or casual fans understand just how tight a knit family it is. We see that with the Bobcats firsthand, and we know how tight the Bobcat fan family, player family is. But it's kind of a hockey thing, because I was just watching this story this week about the young man that's playing for the Minot Beavers now in college, and he came down from Canada. He went through chemotherapy over the summer, and because he was diagnosed with testicular cancer at a very young age, in his transition going from Canada up to stepping up to college hockey, and that community coming together and that hockey family, because you say, and we talk about hockey family, we just saw that with the two brothers that were killed this summer at their sister's wedding. I don't think there's a sport like hockey when it comes to how do we come together and support one another? And that's just a special relationship. And I think it comes from that hockey family starts when you can skate before you can walk. I think that's a lot of it. I mean, that's just the culture you grow up in.
Yeah, it is for sure. And I just, you know, there's no doubt, you know, you and I are singing in the choir with each other. But anyone that's in hockey knows that, like no other sport, like no other sport, not even close, is there the tightness that there is in hockey. And I think some of that is just, maybe it's the nature of the game and the coaches over time, but they instill a culture of grit and determination. And, you know, it's like, I cannot speak best to the Bobcats, but the last game of the year, no matter what, the last game of that year, those boys are just spent. They are exhausted, and that locker room, win or lose, is full of tears. Because there's a genuine, this sounds touchy-feely, and I don't care. There's a genuine love amongst hockey parents and hockey families and hockey players. It's like nothing, if you haven't experienced it, you don't know. And some it's just how grueling the sport is, I think. And unlike some of the others, it's just such a grueling sport that, you know, the boys are, and the girls, they're raised right. And so, you know, I think guys like you, a hockey guy, and me, that hockey guy wannabe, like, we're impressed by that. And,
well, the sport goes long.
Kind of sidebar. We love the game, but it's way bigger than the game.
Yeah, the sport goes far beyond what's taking place on the ice. So, Tom, best of luck this weekend down in Forest Lake, Minnesota, with the Minnesota Mallards, and looking forward to get you back next week. Best of luck. Of course, this is the home of the Bobcats. You can catch every game home and away right here on Super Talk 1270.
Your destination ideas, RM World Travel. Sunday morning, starting at 5 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken along with Sherry Hoffert, and you might know her better as Public Service Commission here in North Dakota. She's one of the commissioners, but she also has another hat she wears. Well, she's got a lot of different hats. In fact, she brought me a hat, which is kind of nice, too. But she does wear a lot of hats. And one of the things that Christmas time means is the wreaths out at the Veterans Cemetery. That's one of those big events that, if you haven't been part of it, always a good time to go out there and pay a little homage to our veterans and really, really have a deep meaning of what that means. And in the past, I know families get together. It's part of their Christmas rituals and their protocols that they do over Christmas. It's like kids come back from college. It's like, okay, well, that's what we do as a family. That's one of the events. But you guys have run into a little bit of a shortfall this time around. Always had a great turnout, great support. Always had a little bit of a reserve in the past that's been able to manage this. But as our veteran cemetery has grown, now we are at the point where we have to replace some wreaths, and they cost money and they're getting more expensive, just like everything else has.
That's correct, Steve. Generally, going into this time of the year, our reserves have been pretty good. But we do fundraising every single year. We look for sponsorships for a wreath, but this year we're down some. We're down more, so we're really...
Costs go up and support either stays the same or maybe lags a little bit, and that means there's a problem.
That's correct. Our wreaths did go up last year. They're $17 a piece. We have to place our order by December 1st, and they get trucked in, all the wreaths, and it is our goal to have a wreath purchase for every headstone out at the Veterans Cemetery.
So what does that mean for listeners out there? How many wreaths do you guys put on the headstones?
Right now, we need 9,000 wreaths. And I don't know the exact amount where we're at, but I would say we need to raise money to cover every headstone right now out at the Veterans Cemetery. So I'm going to put the goal out there. We need to raise money to cover 9,000 headstones out there in wreaths.
One of the cool things, too, because we have veterans from across the state that are out at the Veterans Cemetery. And, you know, when you have a loved one that is entombed somewhere other than the hometown and That means somebody has to kind of take care of them. And I have talked to more families that have come and visited during this time because they're so happy to see that what the community, the Bismarck-Mandan community does with wreaths across America, making sure that every one of those headstones has a wreath. It's just a phenomenal sight.
It is. And on December 14th will be the program on placing the wreath. First, there's a program, and every branch is represented. And then family members or friends, whoever donated a wreath for a specific headstone, there's an opportunity for those who have purchased a wreath to first go out there and place the wreath on their loved ones. We do a call out to a lot of volunteers that day because it takes a lot of people, and the volunteerism is just outstanding. And then after the families or those that have purchased a wreath for a designated headstone, then the rest of the volunteers go out and we make sure a wreath is placed at every headstone. And in order for us to do it, for every headstone, we do count on donations. And again, each wreath is $17.
So I want to give a little shout out to the volunteers because this doesn't happen without the volunteers. And whether it's somebody going online, we'll talk about that in a minute, and giving a monetary donation, volunteerism, helping out. But you've got a lot of families, a lot of service organizations and service groups. And of course, the Civil Air Patrol really does an amazing job orchestrating all of this.
That's correct. So first of all, I want to give a shout out to the Civil Air Patrol that organizes this. They do all the logistics on opening up the donations, keeping us informed, ordering the wreaths, having horse trailers there where the wreaths are. So strategically, throughout the Veterans Cemetery, there will be horse trailers set up where volunteers can go and get the wreaths. And we've had in the past a lot of snow. So people have been out there shoveling snow away from the headstones so family members can see where their loved ones are at. And for us volunteers who are placing wreaths, they are placed strategically in an orderly fashion on each headstone. And I've seen organizations, individuals, Boy Scout troops out there. We are so, so thankful for all the volunteers that come out and support Wreaths Across America on placing those wreaths.
So do you have any sway with the weather this year? Because I've been out there when it's been freezing rain and heavy snow and freezing cold and T-shirts. So a little bit of everything. So, you know.
One of the hats I have, Steve, does not control the weather. Like you, I've been out there like a nice fall day. And there are other days, the only thing that you could see is the white of my eyes. And this is where I'll also say the Civil Air Patrol does good monitoring of weather, and safety is always first. One of the things with the event on December 14th, we ask people to carpool because parking is not in abundant. So if you could carpool, bring your whole family out there, bring your neighbor, your friends, whoever, come on out and help support placing of the wreaths on December 14th at 11 a.m.
How do people volunteer if they want to give their time? And we'll get into the financial aspect here in a second. But if somebody wants to volunteer placing wreaths or helping, you know, if we got a lot of snow, clean some of that stuff off, how do they do that?
Because they show up. They show up that day by 11. The program's going to start at 11. So again, grab a car full of friends, family, come out, carpool, but be out at the North Dakota Veterans Cemetery by 11 a.m. Participate in the program and then the placing of the wreaths.
All right, now, like we said, the cost of the wreaths have gone up, just like everything else has gone up lately. And that's put you guys in a little bit of a financial strain to make sure that every veteran is covered with a wreath. Every veteran's headstone out there has a wreath on it. So what's the process if somebody wants to donate the $17 for a wreath, or they have somebody in particular they want to make sure a wreath is taken care of? How do you go through that process?
Well, there's two ways. First of all, you can send a check. and you send it to, so I'm just going to pause, go get a pen and piece of paper. Reese Across America, care of Bismarck Civil Air Patrol, P.O. Box 2104, Bismarck, North Dakota, 58502. The one thing I'm going to say, emphasize, do not call the North Dakota Veterans Cemetery for information or dropping checks off there. There's two ways to sponsor, either by mail or online. It's PayPal. And I'm going to give you a website to go, and it's pretty easy to follow, but there are steps. It's nd030.cap. That's C as in cat, A as in apple, P as in Paul, .gov. And that's going to bring you to the website, and there's going to be how to sponsor a wreath, but you're going to go down to PayPal and go on to there. And please note, you don't need an account. You can sign on as a guest. And on that site, you're going to have, it's going to be the Bismarck location. You can identify if you want to give to a certain person. And then it's going to be, how many wreaths do you want to sponsor? And you're going to give a credit card number. But please note, you can sign on as a guest and sponsor a wreath through PayPal.
Sherry, thanks for coming in. nd030.cap.gov.
That's correct.
Perfect. Hey, if you can help out, great way to give back this Christmas season, especially back to the veterans. And thank you to you and the Civil Air Patrol for doing a great job with Reese Across America and out at our Veterans Cemetery, making sure every veteran out there has a wreath on their headstone. Once again, that website, nd030.cap.gov. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bach, and joining us in the program, Steve Schwann. And of course, as we get towards Thanksgiving and the holiday season, we start talking about veterans and all kinds of cool stuff for the veterans because they earned it, plain and simple. And one of the coolest events, Steve Schwann, you've been a part of this for a long time.
Yes, it's our 14th year. We're really excited about it.
Wow. I remember when it started, and it has grown and grown and grown. Absolutely phenomenal.
That's right. And, every year it gets better. It really does. Yelks does a fantastic job, and we're all excited about it. We've got tickets available yet at Northwest Contracting, H.A. Thompson & Sons, First International Bank, and, of course, Juan Buick GMC, Valley Sport Marine, and Action Movers.
Now, when we're talking about this event growing and getting bigger and better every year, and you're kind of capped on the numbers, so those tickets, they go fast. So if you haven't picked up tickets, you're a veteran, get those tickets now. But
go ahead, Steve. It's for first responders also.
Yeah, right. First responders
as
well.
That's a big key. We love to see those guys there too and people there.
Now, I want to back up a little bit and tell our listeners where this concept came from, because this is just some guys getting together. I believe you guys were over coffee or something and said, hey, what can we do, right?
Well, we were actually over a beer at the Elks Club.
Well, that works too. Okay.
And Bruce Benz and I, and that was 14 years ago. And again, it was this thing we started out, I think, at 200 people, and now we're at 1,200 vets. And it's just a lot of fun. It really is.
So walk us through what the day looks like, because you guys start cooking early, and the food is phenomenal, and it's about giving back to the veterans. And the first
That's
responders.
Right. Responders, yeah. And it's November 14th. We have three feeding times. Tickets are available for the 10:30 to 11:30, 11:30 to 12:30, and 12:30 to 1:30. And, so we have three buffet lines. It goes fast. Great food. We got green beans this year instead of corn. So with the turkey and all the trimmings, so everybody's excited about that. And it's just a great day.
So, did you ever think that this would grow into the event that it's grown into? I mean, you got some great partnerships. You got some great relationships with the business community and service groups. And the Elks, of course, do a phenomenal job helping put this on. But, sitting over a beer at the Elks Club, did you ever think this has turned into what it's turned into?
No, we thought, you know, that 200 mark, I think it was 203. And I said, well, this is going to be wow. This is really going to be great. And, of course, we kept going. And we just got to cap it at a certain point because we just don't have the facility for it anymore. But it goes so smooth and fast. People can get in there and eat in 25, 30 minutes and be out the door and have a great meal on us and get to see some of their old friends. And that's the greatest thing. We've got relationships that we've built over 14 years. So some of the guys I don't see anymore, unfortunately, they've passed on. But there's a lot of people that still come back, and we've got new people coming. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it's really cool because you see the same people that get out of the house and come up for it. I remember a couple of years ago, big blizzard. And yeah, you managed through that.
Yeah, big blizzard, froze all the food, served it like 8-9 days later, and it all worked out. Had a great crowd. Just, yeah, it was great. It was fun.
So you're just about out of tickets. You're getting down there. So if you want to get your tickets, make sure you get them now because they are going fast. Steve, once again, is there a website, Facebook page? How do people find out more information? If people want to help, how do they get involved?
Well, I'll tell you what. Our staff look forward to helping every year, and it's just been great. And so we've got plenty of staff to help. I just think that if we can get all the vets that want these tickets and get them in there to the Elks Club and have a good time. We've also got the honor flight that's going to be there this year. They're going to have a table set up. So if somebody wants to sign up on that honor flight thing that hasn't had the possibility of going, they're going to be there to help them out with that. And tickets are available at Northwest Contracting, H.A. Thompson & Sons, First International Bank, Schwann Buick GMC, Valley Sport Marine, and Action Movers.
Great opportunity to give back to veterans. If you want more information, contact any one of those businesses. They'll have all the information. And you mentioned the honor flight, which I was honored to go on and help out some of the veterans on a flight earlier this spring. It just phenomenal trip. It was just unbelievable. And you can go look at all the memorials that you want in D.C., but until you go with the veterans, the guys that served, the guys that they were built for, it's just a humbling experience. So, again, thank you for what you do with Feeding the Veterans on November 14th. Three different sessions. Two of them are sold out, right, as far as tickets?
Well, the ones 11:30, 12:30 go probably the fastest, but I'll tell you what, the best time to come eat is 12:30 to 1:30.
Well, yeah, because if there's any leftovers, you get seconds, right?
Well, you can have all you want. It's just a lot of fun. You eat the rush there, and everybody comes in. And yeah, it just goes so smooth. It's fun to work. I tell you one thing, when I'm done with that day, I'm played out.
Well, you know, and you mentioned the last session, which is actually the funnest one to be at, because the other two, you're kind of hurried along. But people get to hang out and visit and chat, and you can hear stories, and it is absolutely phenomenal, that last one, because there's no rush at that point. So, again, Steve Schwann over at Schwann GMC Buick Cadillac, thank you very much for what you do. You guys do such a great job helping out our veterans.
Well, thank you guys for helping us out on this thing, and hopefully we see the other.
All right. Thank you much. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, get them now because they do go fast. There's still a few tickets available. Three sessions to Feed the Veterans over at the Elks on November 14th. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town. Weekday morning starting at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app. Without apology, the Regular Joe Show with Joe Giganti, weekday evenings at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app.
Portions of the following program are pre-recorded.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Julie Jeske, and of course, Provera Bank is her normal hat. you got a lot of hats, actually.
I have a lot of hats, Park District, I have a big head,
and,
so I'm happy.
Yeah. You were kind enough to hop on board with something I started when I was mayor of Bismarck, Capital City Christmas, and we are getting right down to the wire. Of course, it really all starts with the Breakfast with Santa event, which has grown into just under your watch. That has turned into just a jewel for the community.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's been a labor of love, and I was part of Breakfast with Santa in Jamestown, and I started it in Grand Forks. And then when you came to the event center and started talking about looking to do an event to really kick off the holidays here in Bismarck.
Something for the community.
Yeah, something for the community.
Not to slight our friends in Mandan, but you don't get all the cool stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Well, people from Mandan definitely can come to Breakfast with Santa. And we get people from all over. We have relatives that are coming from Kansas. They come to Breakfast with Santa.
So it's Small Business Saturday. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And the cool part is, yeah, I talk to people from Minot and Williston that come to Bismarck and Mandan and come to our community to go shopping that Saturday. And this is part of the event. I mean, they come, bring their kids, go shop the rest of the day. And it is such a cool event. And people come from all over.
Yeah, we really do get people
from... And those tickets do sell out very fast.
And they're so reasonable. I mean, where else can you go and can you have feed your child for $10 for breakfast? And breakfast is pancakes, French toast, eggs,
sausage.
Bananas. Yeah, we've got sausage. We have donuts from Bearscat Donuts. There is milk, and there's other beverages too. And then plus you can make a toy from Lowe's. Lowe's donates the DIY kits, so you can put together a wonderful little toy. Those kits alone, I think, retail at $15. So you can work on your child with one of those. We've got another little craft that they can make. It's a cute little snowman made out of a terracotta pot. You can bounce on the bouncy houses from the Larks. And then the biggest thing is you get a chance to see Santa and Mrs. Claus, and your child can have a little lap time with them, tell them what they're looking for Christmas. We've got a great signed
option. Write a letter to Santa?
Well, that we're not doing this year. So we've cut that back just because postage has gotten a little expensive.
Okay.
And honestly, it's really hard to read everyone's handwriting. So I spent hours trying to decipher, and sometimes
I
didn't
Santa
get...
Well, Santa and Mrs. Claus are getting a little thicker. So
yeah.
Their glasses are a little thicker. So.
Yeah. It's a little harder for them to decipher people's handwriting. So, but we've got so many things that they can do that morning. And then we go into the afternoon, so from 5:30 to 6:30.
Well, and there's games for the kids, too, mm-hmm. all throughout the day and or during the event. And so much fun stuff. And now things have changed a little bit. So, by the way, where do people get their tickets for Breakfast with Santa? Because those do go very fast, and they do sell out.
Yeah, and we are setting for 600 this year, and we are pretty close to 400 tickets sold already for Breakfast with Santa alone. So please don't wait. If you want to take your child to Breakfast with Santa, don't walk in Saturday morning. I'll guarantee you we will be sold out. We try and accommodate people who do walk in just because it would be so disappointing for these children not to be able to see Santa, but we really want to cap this at 600 this year. So the best place to buy them, honestly, is go to the event center's box office. I think they open up at 10 or 11 in the morning. Check their website for it. Then you don't have to pay fees. You can always buy them online, but if you want to save a little bit of money, you can walk into the event center box office and buy your tickets directly there.
And you mentioned the ticket price, just $10, and the kids get so much.
Yeah, $10 for children's, $12 for adults. I mean, a donut nowadays is going to cost you $3. It really is a good value. We keep it low. We have great sponsors, and so they enable us to keep this at a great price point so that people who want to attend can attend. And then in the afternoon from 5:30 to 6, so after Breakfast with Santa, we'll probably wrap up about 12:30. You can go shop downtown, and then you can turn around and come back at 5:30. We've got our tree lighting, which takes place in the Baga parking lot, and that's from 5:30 till 6:30.
So Peace Park is decorated, so all the lights there are part of Capital City Christmas. Then, of course, that big Christmas tree that's so beautiful right in front of Baga, and usually there's a little visit from...
Yeah, somebody, we are fortunate maybe, enough that sometimes Santa comes back in a horse-drawn sleigh just to make one more trip to Bismarck before him and Mrs. Claus head back to the North Pole.
So such a great day. Now, things change a little bit because in the past, we've always done, and this kind of harkens back to the first year we did this because we had a little mingle at the event center. I remember, God, we had a lot of snow that year.
Oh, I think we had 19 inches. Yeah, we were setting
big
up that morning.
Blizzard.
And yeah, we're going through the parking lot. And I'm like, are you guys going to get this parking lot plowed before people start showing up at 9 a.m.?
So. But we had a little Christmas mingle afterwards. So
yes.
They left the inflatables up for the kids. And that was a fun little event. But we've kind of changed it. We're not doing the big New Year's Eve gala this year, which just trying something a little bit different.
Yeah.
We kind of went back to the mingle. So we're going to do everything on that Small Business Saturday. And that includes a bigger holiday mingle with the raffles and the silent auction and all of the things that go along with that, the bourbon and wine pull, the games, the adult entertainment, but we're incorporating stuff for the kids as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a family-friendly event. It's from 6:30 to 9, and that is, again, at the event center. You can get your tickets online, or you can buy them at the event center box office.
And that's a separate ticket from
Breakfast
with Santa.
So that's $15 for children. One and under, they're free. And then the adults are $20. But here's what you get for that $20. Again, it's a great value. So you'll have the inflatables for the kids. You'll have a chance to shop at our silent auction, and that is going online November 18th. So probably a week from Monday, that'll go online. You can, we've got a great comfort food buffet, I call it, because I'm a big fan of mac and cheese. So we're going to have mac and cheese with a variety of toppings.
We've
got
baked beans. Is there a lobster
mac? I don't know. I will definitely ask Anthony at the event center. It'd be nice if that was a topping.
I might have a request.
Yeah. And then we'll have pulled pork barbecue, and we'll have a bun. So $15 for children, $20 for adults. For the adults, there is free beer. So that's kind of a nice thing. We're going to have a wonderful milk
and
bar.
And
entertainment. Thank you for mentioning that. We'll have Overeducated is our band that night. So you have a chance to dance, you have a chance to eat, you have a chance to visit our silent auction. You can participate in our wine and our bourbon pull. We will have Snowflake Salon. So it's a salon. You pay $6, but you can go in and have hair tinsel added to your hair. You can have your character drawn. That is this additional $6. But, you know, where can you get a character drawn for just $6 per person? You can have a balloon animal or art made for $1 per person. And we will have a horse-drawn sleigh ride that you can participate to. So some of the events are free that day, additional cost for some of the events like the sleigh ride, but still a really good value. And it all goes towards such a great cause.
All these different charities that Capital City Christmas helps around the community, just phenomenal. So Breakfast with Santa, get your tickets early on that because those do sell out quickly. The Christmas Mingle, get your tickets for that. The two free events on Small Business Saturday are the tree lighting in the Bega parking lot. And then there's a little something that a lot of people show up to for New Year's, but we're not doing it on New Year's this year.
That's
we're
right.
doing it on that Small Business Saturday, and that's the fireworks show.
Right, and we put on, I would say, probably one of the best fireworks shows in...
Memory Fireworks does such an amazing job with that.
Yeah.
So it is going to be a great night. It's going to be a busy day.
It's going to be, well, we've been advertising it as one day of holiday magic. And I've kind of changed the wording to just, you know, one day of holiday madness for our committee members. But we're up to the challenge, and we are so excited to be doing this. But yeah, the fireworks is going to be at 9:15-ish. It might be 9:30, but 9:15, and that's going to take place at the Event Center parking lot.
So. It's going to be a fun day, and it is all in one day. So it's going to be an action-packed, very full day. Julie, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Steve, for having me on.
Once again, best place to get tickets?
You can go to the Bismarck Event Center box office, check their website for the hours, or you can order them online. There are additional fees if you do order online.
Capital City Christmas, Small Business Saturday coming up on Saturday, November 30th. Get your tickets for that. It's going to be a fun day. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Supertalk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Joe Sheehan from Benchmark Mortgage. Give him a call. He is your mortgage planner at 701-400-3926. And Joe, I talk about how elections play into this, but this wasn't part of the election. And people can take a look at the stock market and what happened after Trump got elected. But the quarter point reduction by the Fed, that really had nothing to do with the election, did it?
No. In fact, if you were watching the election results and if you were looking at the analysis, if you're looking at the futures performance of the 10-year Treasury, rates were going up as Trump was winning. And in fact, mortgage rates went up the day after the election, in that the bet is there are people who are betting on higher rates. And the people who are betting on higher rates were betting on a Trump win. And everything about the Trump economic policy, if you're just going by that, would indicate we're in for, you know, higher rates, not lower rates. And so, yeah, the quarter point Fed cut, the 25 basis point Fed cut had nothing to do with the election. This was already baked into the market. I had actually released a video to all my past clients that are in the refi zone, telling them that this wasn't going to result in a refinance for them, and telling them about the rate cut before it happened. This rate cut was baked in. We're going to get a probably 80% chance right now. We're going to get another one in December. Neither one of those rate cuts is probably going to lead to anybody refinancing, because after the last rate cut of 50 basis points, rates went from the low sixes back up to the sevens, maybe the high sixes right now. And none of that has had anything to do with the election. It's had to do with economic reports of stronger than expected inflation. And the other thing that's starting to rear its ugly head, our deficit. Our deficit is definitely a headwind to rates going lower.
Well, explain that part too, because, you know, we talked about this at the 50 basis points and then rates went up. Explain that to listeners that may not understand. Most people think, well, the rate went down, then the mortgage rate should go down. And that's not how that works.
Right. The fixed rates are based on Fannie and agency bonds, Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie. And yeah, my customers were cross-eyed with me when I was trying to lock them all in before the rate cut last time. And they're like, well, we want to lock before the rate cut? Yes. And the reason why is that the mortgage rates aren't directly connected to the Fed rate. So the bond traders had built in and had expected that 58 basis point rate cut. They were trading expecting that 25 to 50 basis point cut. And so then what happened is after the Fed cut rates, they repositioned to take their profits. And then we got a little bit of bad news for interest rates, in that inflation was a little bit hotter, employment was better. Those are all things that are bad for lower interest rates. And so the result was, over the next month, almost every day since that last rate cut, rates have gone up to almost 7% again. And so these rate cuts that the Fed is doing really don't have anything to do with the mortgage rates. They have to do with the rates that the banks are borrowing at to try to stimulate liquidity, because the Fed believes that there is some headwinds coming in the employment market eventually. And they're trying to stave that off to keep employment from dipping or dramatically falling off all of a sudden and causing too much, you know, economic. They're trying to get the soft landing. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pull back the accelerator just a little bit and push a little bit more gas into employment, so that if the economy slows, employment stays strong to avoid a recession.
So open up your crystal ball, and for mortgage rates, because that's what people are really concerned about, for mortgage rates, what does this half or quarter point mean, and what is the, I'm assuming it's probably going to be a quarter point in December if we get one. What is the short-term, long-term prognostication for somebody looking at buying a home?
Yeah, I think that you have to expect rates are going to stabilize here When you look at the bond chart, not the interest rate chart, if you look at the bond chart, traders are trying to find a bottom to the bond market right now, which means rates should improve. So rates should improve if we continue to get stabilizing news for the economy. If we continue to get stabilizing news for the economy where, you know, growth isn't so hot, inflation's, you know, moving closer to the 2% range, and if the employment data, you know, where we have healthy job creation but not hot job creation, I think you could see rates move back down into those low sixes. And if we find some stability in the economy, you know, the 30-year fixed rate should be about 1.5 points over the Treasury. Well, right now the Treasury was pushing about 4.5, should be about 6. If that moves back down into the threes, like it should, maybe we see rates in the fives at some point next year. But, you know, it's hard to say with Trump's economic policy and where that will lead us, because and depending on what happens with deficits, I would say what you're watching for next year, really, the headline is going to be deficits.
So when you're looking at that long-term plan, because, again, mortgage planner, and you have to have a plan in place. Again, we talk about this all the time. The best time to buy a home is when it's right for you. And you're not going to know when it's right for you unless you have a plan in place. But for people going into what traditionally is a slow buying time, because when we get into winter, things slow down in the housing market a little bit. Are there going to be some opportunities out there?
I bought several homes in the winter. Now, I'm not saying it's great, because sometimes the inventory isn't as robust in the winter, and that's true. And people pull their houses off the market and they put them back on. But if you're working with a really great realtor, if you're working with a realtor that really has paid attention to what is on the market, what's been on the market, what's been pulled off the market, here's the thing. If the house you do love is out there, you got less competition to buy it. Which means I've been able to spark really good deals on homes in the last quarter and the first quarter of the year in my history, because I'm not competing against very many people. Now, here's the other thing. A really great realtor remembers the houses that got pulled off the market. And they'll make a phone call to those sellers that pulled their house off the market and go, hey, if I had a buyer for you today, I know your house isn't on the market, but if I had a buyer for you today, would you be willing to deal? And they pulled their house off the market versus waiting 4 more months to put it back on the spring. You might get to buy a house that's either kind of like a pocket listing or not on the market right now, but plans to be on the market in the future.
Well,
so I think winter is a great time. It is not a great time to move.
No, but it's a good time to buy.
I'll never argue that. It is not a great time to move. Last winter would have been a good time to move, though. But most winters are not a great time to move. But I'm going to tell you, it can be a fantastic time to buy.
I've lived that
a couple times.
Always a good idea to have a plan in place. And to do that, contact Joe Sheehan. Joe, how do people get a hold of you?
Hey, 701-400-3926. I'm always happy to help.
Joe Sheehan over at Benchmark Mortgage. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
To Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Tom Briggle, owner of the Bismarck Bobcats. And the Bobcats on a little bit of tear. They're on the road this weekend, heading down to the Minnesota Mallards. Now, Tom, that is in Forest Lake, Minnesota. Brand new team, right?
It is. You know, it's a brand new team, and we have hosted them in Bismarck. They're a gritty team, and, you know, I think they're about give or take 500. So they're kind of wading their way through the weeds, you know, against teams like us and Aberdeen and some of the others that have been around for a while. But they're a tough team. They're playing hard. And like I said, they're pretty gritty, and it'll be a different kind of test for us. What's our record these days? I had to look it up. 13-1 and a shootout loss. Not too bad.
Not bad.
But the thing is, everyone's gunning for us. Like, we played Tulane Austin last week, and God, they played us they played us hard. We came out with a split, and that was our first regulation loss. But yeah, head down to the Mallards.
Well, you know what? The old adage for pretty much any sport is sweep at home, split on the road, and you're doing pretty well. You're ahead of that pace right now.
Not too bad so far.
So I want to get a little bit, before we get into the Mallards a little bit, because brand new, and I want to hear about where they're playing a little bit too. But the makeup of the team this year, and the Bobcats came out of the gate hot, down at the showcase, swept through the showcase. What's your sense of the team? I know it's a little early to start going, wow, these guys are really good. But it's a team. I've got a couple of my favorite players, but they're playing like a team. And there's not that one big horse standout. It's like, okay, if we put Wayne Gretzky on the team, yeah, we're going to do pretty well.
Yeah,
you're not built that way. You've got solid players across the board, and they play for each other. That's cool to watch.
Yeah, they really do. It's been interesting. You know, over time, for the most part, like the Bobcat culture, you know, under Lane and now under Jarrett, has been pretty strong. But this year, I don't know if it's because we're 13-1 or if we're 13-1 because of it. But the boys, like, have really bonded, and it's really interesting because it's a more diverse team probably than we've ever had, just because all of a sudden we've got 8 imports, right? And we've got a kid that played in the Dub from California, and they're really, they're from all over. And then not to downplay the fact that, oh, by the way, we got 2 kids from Bismarck, right? We got Ty Weigel and Charlie Big, and very diverse group off the ice. They've really come together, to your point. And, yeah, we've got some skilled players, Kim and others, that are really high-end. You know, Hunter's a high-end. But even they, the scoring is spread out. And Nico Kapitanovic, our agent, and Wade Chido, they've really put together, you know how we talked over time about, yeah, you can have a bunch of good players, but just like the NHL, you need to have the right parts. But we've got a lot of the right parts, and if we can bring them along, and I think Garrett will, and Alec Rahauser, assistant coach, another Bismarck boy, I think they will. We think we've got a chance to make a run at it here.
Okay, so when you're looking at a long season like this, and yeah, it's great getting out of the gate early. It's always always great to get out of the gate early. But maintaining that through the peaks and valleys of a long season can be a little bit difficult. So you've been around hockey for a long time. What's your thought? I mean, because at some point, and I'm not going to say the wheels are going to fall off, but there's going to be a rough spotter here. You know, a key injury or somebody gets suspended because they were bad. Something. There's always
have a flashback moment.
Yeah, just a little bit. But over the course of
a Bobcat tradition, man.
It is.
We're trying to indoctrinate Rahauser and pollute him.
Yeah. Well, two names come to mind right away. Minot and Aberdeen. Something's going to happen. Yeah. So anyway, but over the course of a long season, maintaining it's the hardest thing to do. So what's the culture like within the locker room that kind of manages that? Because the kids, like I said, are playing for each other. So does that help get through a little rough spot if you drop a couple weekends or some injuries pop up? It's kind of that next man up mentality, but they're all next men. It's a great team this year.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's interesting on two fronts. One is the short answer is we don't know. We don't know because we haven't, we've had tough games, But obviously, we've only lost one and one in the shootout, right? And the one in the shootout, by the way, we're missing our top two scorers. We're not in the lineup against Minot. So at some point, I would guess, and I hope it's not due to injury, but likely there's always one or two, right? I mean, those guys happen to be out with concussions. And short of injuries, you know, at some point we will run into, like you're saying, Sam, we always say, well, we're going to run into some adversity, and how do you handle it? We don't know yet. We may be able to keep it up. I think we have the right staff in place for sure. Garrett's very smart that way in maintaining. But at some point we'll hit some adversity, and then it's okay, how are the boys going to react? And, you know, it is a long season, and so we want to win as many games as we can. But the objective at the end of the day, of course, after rosters are set in February, is to win the cup and make sure that we're healthy then, and also that our mindset is right. And, you know, we're trying to bring back a championship. We just want to do that so bad. And but we'll run into adversity. We think we have the character on the team to work through that, and time will tell.
Well, it's looking good so far, and not to jinx anything, but it's going to be a big weekend down with a brand new team in the league, the Minnesota Mallards down in Forest Lake, Minnesota. We'll get the details on them when we come back. This is Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Tom Briggle, owner of the Bismarck Bobcats, on Super Talk 1270.
1270. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
SuperDoc 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Tom Briggle, owner of the Bismarck Bobcats. Big weekend, Bobcats on the road. The following week, though, we're going to be back home at the VFW Center. North Iowa Bulls coming to town. Tom, it's kind of crazy because you really haven't been on the road a whole lot. You started out the gate with a lot of home games. Now you're on the road in Forest Lake, Minnesota. Brand new team, the Minnesota Mallards. And tell us a little about them. We had them here in our barn, and now we're on the road. Where are they playing down in Forest Lake?
They're playing well. It's a good question. I live in Minneapolis, but I've never, even with all my three children, never played there. So, you know, it's in Forest Lake. That's all I know, which is about 20 miles north of maybe 30 north of St. Paul. So I'm excited myself to go up there and see their setup and see their team and see their fan base. The boys came in last night. So they're all settled in, and they'll have a little pre-skate today and get ready for the game, you know, the games this weekend. So yeah, in terms of this home and out of town, the schedule has been a little bit, different. We started with six in a row at home. I don't know who the hell does the scheduling. Oh, yeah, that's me. But it's just how it works out, like we talked about. You just can't figure it out sometimes. And so we started with six in a row at home, but now we've literally, by next Friday, we will have been out of the market for 4 weeks. And so I think fans, you know, getting a lot of people buying tickets right, I think they're going through withdrawals.
Well, that's okay, though, so because you don't want to be home on pheasant opener, and you don't want to be home on deer opener, so you're fine.
You know what? What's interesting, yeah, I always tell you, I avoid pheasant opener like the plague, but we had two games, and they were great. The turnout was great both nights.
Well, that's because everybody gets their limit in the morning, and then they're
watching the show and the hockey.
Pheasant's fine because everybody gets their limit in the morning, and then they're home and go to the game that night, so you're okay.
Especially this year, I just heard there's birds like hanging off trees. It's just crazy, and maybe even I could hit one. I kind of struggle there, but I sure would like to try some.
Just don't hit one with your car. You're fine.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, it's all good that way. So we'll do the Forest Lake thing, and then I want to talk, if it's okay, about just a couple of other things. So next weekend, it's a pretty big weekend. We've got four or five sponsors that are sponsoring. Of course, Monday is, you know, Veterans Day. And so next weekend's our Veterans Day weekend. So I want to visit a little bit. We have terrific sponsors, and what Brad's put together, similar to what he did last year, is we have all special uniforms. We have all special helmets. And what we do is we auction them all off. And I think we raised like 10 grand last year for the trip that the veterans take. What's it called?
The Honor Flight.
Yeah. But anyway, the trip they do to Washington, D.C., so it's really a big, it's a terrific event, and we have all kinds of, veterans in the stands, and so pretty jacked about that. North Iowa's a better team this year, unlike, you know, they've been down a little bit, but so it should be good hockey, but it should also be, it's going to be a terrific event, so I think the fans have been going through withdrawals, it seems like, and so have I, to be honest, so we'll head back next week, and play a home game just for kicks.
Yeah, it's always fun to play a home game, right?
I think so.
Especially with the show.
And then, on another note, a little bit of a sadder note, you may know or whatever, but one of our boys, his father, about 10 days ago, had a heart attack and he passed away. And so, you know, hockey's hockey, and you talk about our brothers and the team, but they're brothers. And so, you know, his celebration of life is going to be Tuesday, so the boys will bust down on Monday and be with their partner, young Kyle Dahl, and, be brothers in fact. So this hockey, you know, we talk about hockey being such a close family. It's just a freaking close family. And little story there, we had the same thing happen in, like, 2006. A young boy lost his father unexpectedly, and so was able to reach out to him on Facebook last week. And, you know, I said, geez, you know, we've had the same situation. And I'm just wondering if the boy is open to it, if you would want to visit with him. And he said, he's from Hallock, Minnesota. And he said, you know, Tom, I would love to do that, because there's so many things that I wish I would have known and that people would have talked to me instead of not talked about. And I've had to learn everything about that really kind of on my own. And so since that time, he's actually made it a mission to talk to people, not just hockey people, but people that lose their parents young. And it's just touching. And so you want to talk about Bobcat family and hockey broadly. So we're going to offer that once the dust has settled and Kyle has a chance to kind of, you know, take a breath. And they'll probably get together for coffee. And, I hate the situation, but I love the brotherhood. And so that's on a Saturday note. But, we're sad about that. But,
you know, we hear those stories in hockey, and I don't think people that are outside that are fans or casual fans understand just how tight a knit family it is. You know, we see that with the Bobcats firsthand, and we know how tight the Bobcat fan family, player family is. But it's kind of a hockey thing, because I was just watching this story this week about the young man that's playing for the Minot Beavers now in college, and he came down from Canada. He went through chemotherapy over the summer, and because he was diagnosed with testicular cancer at a very young age, in his transition going from Canada up to stepping up to college hockey, and that community coming together and that hockey family, because you say, and we talk about hockey family, we just saw that with the two brothers that were killed this summer with their sister's wedding. You know, I don't think there's a sport like hockey when it comes to how do we come together and support one another? And that's just a special relationship. And I think it comes from that hockey family starts when you can skate before you can walk. I think that's a lot of it. I mean, that's just the culture you grow up in.
Yeah, it is for sure. And I just, you know, there's no doubt, you know, you and I are singing in the choir with each other, but anyone that's in hockey knows that like no other sport, not even close, is there the tightness that there is in hockey. And I think some of that is just, maybe it's the nature of the game and the coaches over time, but they instill a culture of grit and determination. And, you know, it's like, I cannot speak best of the Bobcats, but the last game of the year, no matter what, the last game of that year, those boys are just spent. They are exhausted, and that locker room, win or lose, is full of tears. Because there's a genuine, this sounds touchy-feely and I don't care, there's a genuine love amongst hockey parents and hockey families and hockey players. It's like nothing, if you haven't experienced it, you don't know. And some it's just how grueling the sport is, I think. And unlike some of the others, it's just such a grueling sport that, you know, the boys are, and the girls, they're raised right. And so, you know, I think guys like you, a hockey guy, and me, that hockey guy wannabe, like, we're impressed by that. And,
well, the sport goes long.
Kind of a sidebar. We love the game, but it's way bigger than the game.
Yeah, the sport goes far beyond what's taking place on the ice. So, Tom, best of luck this weekend down in Forest Lake, Minnesota, with the Minnesota Mallards. And looking forward to get you back next week. Best of luck. Of course, this is the home of the Bobcats. You can catch every game home and away right here on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town, weekday mornings starting at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app.